The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, partisan primary Tuesday edition, happier happy hour, rolling into it. It's a lot of alliteration for the top of the hour. Thank God
well
we got
done,
a
Michael.
Fine guest and a journalist, John Nichols. And someone asked on the text line, am I mispronouncing Eric Hudvey on purpose? No, I butcher names sincerely. There's no malicious intent here. If I'm saying his name wrong, I didn't mean to do that. I just can't say his name. John Nichols, I think I got that right. Welcome back to the show, sir. Fine hey, journalist.
Yeah, you gotta stop calling him Hubdula.
What'd I call him?
Hubdula.
Hubdula. I didn't quite get that.
La.
Oh,
it's a Kamala joke. It's Trump mispronouncing Kamala's name.
Oh, yeah. He's had all sorts of weird combos.
So far ahead of the joke here that it came around backwards. Obviously.
But, John, it's not a joke for me. I sincerely butcher names, man. I'm not trying to be malicious. I never learned how to speak.
Well, you're a Wisconsinite, you know? And as we well understand, the south side of Milwaukee, right, which is one of the most incredible things ever, I remember working at Mainstream Records on the south side of Milwaukee when I was a kid, and the show Great White North was on Saturday Night Live, right? Yeah, the two guys, the Canadian guys.
Take off, you horsehead.
Yeah.
Right. And that accent was indistinguishable from the south side of Milwaukee.
I've been to Sarge's Bar. That's all I can speak to on the south side. John Nichols, I was in Eau Claire, and I spent a little bit of time in a bar that night, but I saw you at a Kamala Harris rally. We were AI'd in with like 12, 15,000 other people. And
yeah,
the band
technology.
The band there that day, John, I can't say its name either. It's like Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
See, I didn't even get it right. People tried to teach me, John.
The lead singer is Justin Vernon. You can say that.
I can. And I did get to see the guy. They actually brought the future presidential motorcade right to my hotel, right out in front. He apparently is an investor there. They went to the local store right by the Oxbow Hotel, where I happened to have fleed the Kamala rally. I drove hard because we had a little radio show to get to. And, John, I came away from that rally that day just full of energy and inspired. And I felt like the entire tone of this race has changed. And I've started seeing it in some of the polling, John, but you can feel it on the streets. You feel it at these rallies. And I see it in the article you wrote at the Cap Times today. You certainly feel it as well, do you not, John?
Without a doubt. Look. I think it was one of the writers for Time Magazine. They have a pretty remarkable cover image of Kamala Harris, and they have a big article on her. And I think the title is The Reintroduction of Kamala Harris, i.e. people are getting to know her anew. And what they say in the article, and I think it's spot on, is that never in modern history have we felt the vibe of a campaign, the character of a campaign, change so rapidly, right? And I'll remind you that, for instance, with Barack Obama, who was, you know, a hugely influential candidate and a very popular campaign, a campaign that caught people's imagination. It took him months to kind of get to this point. And even after the Democratic convention, he wasn't at the level in many senses that that Harris has already gotten to before the convention. Then if you want an additional kind of element, when the Harris people started rolling out this campaign just shortly after Joe Biden decided to hand off the presidency, they did something very cautious. They came to the Milwaukee area. And Wisconsin is obviously the focal point state for the whole presidential campaign, the biggest battleground state. And so they came to the Milwaukee area, and they initially scheduled into a small spot, a relatively small space. They got so many people wanting to come, they moved up to the big high school in West Dallas, right? And they filled that, and that looked very, very good. But they clearly had undershot, and that has turned out to be the case ever since. They have yet to find a venue that they can't fill. Now, I know that Donald Trump will say that's because of AI, but the reality is this is a campaign that even in itself doesn't fully understand its potential, right, where it's headed. Now, that doesn't mean she's going to win by a landslide. It doesn't mean it's going to be Roosevelt in 36 or Johnson in 64 or something that's so overwhelming it transforms our politics. But it does hold out the potential, I think, that she could have a win on the level of Barack Obama in 2012, where he won very comfortably for reelection, carried Ohio and Iowa, as a matter of fact, and also helped a lot of Senate candidates come across the line. And so if that's the case, if Harris really does move to that point, for the nature of our politics today, because our politics has been so deeply divided with both parties, these behemoth parties kind of handing off control of the White House, handing off control of the House, handing off control of the Senate, kind of all over, very scattered. If Harris could actually pull off a 51-52% win with a slight expansion of control of the Senate, maybe, you know, win the sitting senators and pick up perhaps Florida and something else, and then also get a good clean victory in the House. I mean, this is like, it's unimaginable how we got moved this much space in this short amount of time.
Our fine guest, he is John Nichols. And John, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Laura Ingram and I know it well, but I do have a question.
You know what I wanted to check out, though? Can you clarify this for me? I got to look on my map quick. There might be a Milwaukee, Minnesota. I don't know. Maybe Laura Ingram knows something we don't know.
It's on one of the lakes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like out someplace kind of west of Austin, you know, or someplace like that. I don't know.
Western Minnesota. John, real quick.
I'm not going to beat her up. Yeah.
Because I'm taking all Dom's time. I'm stealing from him now. But it has also been amazing that they're really running a hopey, changey kind of joyous campaign that is not really predicated on a lot of specifics yet. They're kind of running her as a generic Dem, John. And I don't think that's a bad thing. There's not enough time for her opponent to fully misconstrue her policy choices if she won't put out her policy choices. We know what she's for.
How wrong you are, my friend. They can misconstrue it even if she doesn't say anything. And in fact, they have been, right? They're going to make stuff up no matter what. So what she is doing at this point is running as essentially continuity for Biden, right? And continuity for Biden is not a bad thing, right? We have a pretty good economy. There's a lot of other things that are decent. I would like to see a shift in the Gaza policy, a stronger shift in the Gaza policy. I'd like to see a few other changes. But what she's doing is continuity. And at this point, this is the thing people need to understand. The only reason the Biden-Trump race was close is because people, like two-thirds of Americans, had real doubts about whether Biden could do the job. That's a painful reality. The polling shows that there was just an awful lot of people that had real doubts about Biden. Once you pull Biden out and put somebody else in, I mean, basically the American people would prefer the Biden agenda to, you know, one day of dictator with Donald Trump.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our friend John Nichols from the Cap Times and The Nation magazine. John, it's always a pleasure. I want to get your sense on the whole AI thing. You know, when this thing came out, I was like, you know, Donald Trump was freaking losing it. But even Bernie Sanders put out there that, you know, it's like, well, you know, he might be crazy, but he's not stupid. And this is really essentially more of a continuation of the, you know, laying the groundwork for if he loses the election for sowing doubt. And this seems to be, I mean, he was doing this back in 2020, John. This hasn't really changed as a strategy for Donald Trump. What's your sense on this AI thing, and how important do you think this, what's obviously strange, weird comment, is actually part of his plan?
Look, one of the things is I never underestimate Donald Trump. I wrote a piece back in March of 2016 saying that he could be elected president of the United States. Nobody took it seriously then, and even I started to doubt myself after all the crazy stuff came out. But the bottom line is the guy has political skills, whether you like him or not. That's, you know, he's got a strategy. He's playing it. May not be the right strategy, may not be a smart strategy even, but it is a strategy. What he's doing with AI is pretty clear. He is accusing the Republicans of faking up crowd size at their rallies, right? So that when accusing the Democrats of faking up crowd size, right? So that when the Republicans do that, then he'll say, oh, come on, you know, this, when I said it, you guys all laughed at me, but now when the Democrats do it, you believe it, right? He's trying to sow a chaos and a confusion about the energy of campaigns, about, you know, who's got the center of gravity. The reason he's doing that is because he knows he's going to lose the popular vote overwhelmingly now because of Harris's popularity, and very likely lose the Electoral College. So yes, there is no question he is setting up to play that game. The only way to undo it, right, the only way to push back against it is for Harris to run a 50-state strategy and go for the biggest popular vote win possible so that everybody across the country knows in their own heart that she has won. She can't run a narrow campaign. She's got to run a very broad campaign.
John, what would the MAGA crowd be saying if Joe Biden got up and started saying, hey, those rallies that Donald Trump is having is full of AI? They call him a crazy old man. How come there's not that kind of consistency on the MAGA side?
Well, because we've known Trump was crazy for a very long time. You know, he's gone from being a crazy young man to a crazy middle-aged man, now a crazy old man. And so we're settled into it, right? You know, I mean, also, one thing to remember is our media, after 9 years of Trump presidential politics, still doesn't know how to deal with the guy. They don't know whether to ignore him, whether to take him seriously, whether to try and take apart every lie, whether to counter this, counter that. They are painfully inept when it.
Sorry to cut you short, John. Hold on tight. We'll get more of your opinions on the other side. Just don't handle them like Elon did.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. John Nichols, a national correspondent from The Nation magazine, locally here at the Cap Time, is sticking around for one more segment. John, thank you for doing so. John wrote an article, his opinion piece, Kamala Harris looking like a winner in Wisconsin. I share your sentiment there, John. In your piece, you mentioned something I'm interested in, the alternative candidates. You mentioned in 2016, 188,000 Wisconsinites backed a third-party candidate. And, that fell to 57,000, less than, in 2020. Then you articulate a bunch of candidates are going to be on the ballot this year. I guess I didn't realize there would be that many third-party candidates. John, what's your sense on what's going to happen in this election cycle regarding the third-party candidates?
I don't think they're going to do very well. And I'm not, you know, happy or sad. My sentiment is that I wish we had a multi-party democracy. I wish we had more alternatives on the ballot, because I think that would make for more interesting, more dynamic politics. But the reality is that we have a two-party system. And the only time that our alternative parties do particularly well is when the choice for the two major parties is a disappointing one, or one that people aren't satisfied with. That happened with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in 2016. A lot of people went to the alternative parties, the Libertarians, the Greens, the others, because they simply didn't like that choice. in 2000, or 2020, I apologize, it was a clearer choice, right? Biden versus Trump. People had a better sense of Trump. So the third party vote went down. I think that this year will be a lot like 2008, when the third parties got very, very small numbers of votes, because the choice between Obama, who was quite popular, and McCain, who had his own appeal, was clear enough that people, you know, they were satisfied with the two major parties. I think the Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump choice will be one that, you know, people just divide up on so clearly. And so I don't think the third parties are going to get as many votes.
John Nichols, our fine guest. But John, you underestimate perhaps the bro power of Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan came out and said he really likes Kennedy. He kind of backed off, said, well, it's not an endorsement, but I really like Kennedy. And my thought is this, John. I think any appetite for the third party, for the conspiracy theorist Robert Kennedy Jr., is going to drain support away from the MAGA. Am I wrong about this, sir?
No, you're 100% right. And in fact, this is the interesting dynamic. Trump, again, who isn't stupid, he actually knows politics, or he doesn't know politics per se, but he knows how to, you know, defend himself. He's very conscious of that. He's always been uncomfortable with this Kennedy candidacy. There's some evidence that he even tried to convince Kennedy to drop out, perhaps with an offer of a cabinet position or something like that, although I'm not sure whether that actually happened or the extent to which that occurred. But there, the rumors float around. Why is Trump so concerned about Kennedy? Because Kennedy is you know, kind of working that same turf as a younger, more, in some ways, more energetic candidate. And so I think for Trump, that's a very problematic situation. I think that if Biden was still in the race, there's no question that Kennedy might pull some from the Democratic side as well. But with Biden out of the race, I don't think, and Harris in, I don't think Kennedy's votes is going to be that substantial. In fact, I think he's the candidate who has been most hurt by the arrival of Kamala Harris in the race. And my sense is that he's also been severely damaged by his own storyline, right? By the stuff that's come out, this thing about the bear. And, you know, like, did you see the interview? Did you see the interview?
I saw the video with Roseanne Barr. When you're going to Roseanne to confess your sins, something is amiss.
Where somebody was asking him, because there was some accusation that he had eaten a dog, right?
Yeah.
And there was some accusation that, you know, like, what, or some claim, you know, what he would eat all sorts of things, right? And it was a suggestion that, you know, he's pretty crazy, right? And they said, is there anything you wouldn't eat? And Kennedy said, well, I wouldn't eat a human.
At least he's got limits, John. Our fine guest.
You, if you're running for president and you have to, and you feel a need to say that, my argument is that you've already kind of put yourself in a place where a lot of voters are going to look elsewhere.
Yeah, but if you've been to a Trump rally and you've heard him hailing the late great Hannibal Lecter, you know, you maybe want to distinguish.
You're opening up a whole new avenue for this race. Okay, so let me clarify a couple things, right? I'm not sure what the Trump-Kennedy relationship is, or to the extent that they talk at all. I just don't know. I don't know whether Kennedy, you know, would like a place in a Trump cabinet. I don't know if Trump might offer Kennedy that, you know, all this flurries of rumors about, I don't know anything about that. But I do know, once again, if they are competing for the votes of those who might or might not engage in cannibalism, I think they may be marginalizing themselves. There's John, a possibility that they're over on the edge of our politics, not at the mainstream.
John, I'm going to put you down for no on cannibalism, but let me ask you a couple of constitutional referendums on the state ballot today. Today's election day in the state of Wisconsin. John, I feel like the right's trying to boonswoggle the electorate into voting yes. What's your opinion, sir? Got like a minute here, John.
Look, we have a constitution set up in the state of Wisconsin. It's got a system of checks and balances, right? A simple system of checks and balances.
And under that system, once money is allocated at the federal or state level, the governor gets to, you know, do the distribution. That's smart because it makes it quick and efficient, does what needs to be done. The logical vote for anyone, Republican, Democrat, liberal, or conservative, is no and no.
Well said, John Nichols. You're so smart. You probably pronounce names correctly and everything.
I think I got Justin Vernon down.
John, are we going to see you down at the DNC next week?
Yeah, I'll be there. All week long, tip your waitresses.
We'll be there. We'll be partying. That's the great thing about the DNC compared to the RNC. First, right. You work hard all day, and then, John, you party all night with the Democrats.
Can I just tell you something, though? I like the RNC. I had no trouble with that. I even got a picture with Lauren Boebert. I just think it's an interesting event.
Well, if you're hanging out with Lauren Boebert, I guess it was. Thank you, John.
No, she's very respectable. She was very respectable.
I've never found her to be so, and I met her in D.C. Thanks, John. Be well. See you at the DNC. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. Should you stay or should you go? You should stay and vote no twice, but not till after 6.
Thanks, John. Should I stay or should I go? So much to do.
There's plenty on the farm. I'll sleep when I'm dead. I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll sleep when we're dead. It's a happier happy hour. We're rolling through it. Want to thank our most recent guest, a fun one, our friend John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times locally. Thank you, John. Dom, tomorrow we got another friend joining us, a little longer distance. Bill Press, right? What time's Bill joining tomorrow?
Bill will be on at 5 p.m. Central tomorrow. He's also going to be going to the DNC. We'll try to hook up with him when we are there as well. Look forward to catching up once again with Bill.
And don't forget, you all need to catch up with the Devil's Advocates live from Chi-Town, going to Chicago all next week. We will be doing our live show 4 to 6 p.m. So our Madison listeners will be a little disappointed, Dom, because we're starting at 4 and we're going till 6. And then we'll get a brief, let's call it a dinner break. And then we'll be anchoring coverage on WCPT 820 AM, KTNF 950 AM. Those are Chicago and Minneapolis stations. And your favorite stations here on the Civic Media Network. And we're going to incorporate a lot of our fine civic media friends, some of the hosts from WCPT, guys like Bill Press. It's going to be an extravaganza. So, 4 to 6, Devil's Advocates, as you're used to hearing us. And then, 7 to close, let's call it close of business. When the DNC's done for the night, we're done on the radio for the night. And, Dom, I have not verified, but pretty sure it's a standard double.
Okay, good to know. We're not sleeping in the same bed. Those aren't pillows, Gertie.
Those aren't pillows. 844-967-2789. Now, we've got a few less reasonable conservative friends, but I find Mark to be a very reasonable conservative. Most days, don't press your luck, Mark, but welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Well, first of all, thanks for taking my call. I guess I heard two words from your guest, continuity and reintroduction. So the continuity of the Biden administration, I guess that's complete opposite of what she's running on, because now she's for fracking. She wants to clean up the border. She wants to refund the police defend the police. She's all about Israel.
I haven't seen a whole lot of but Mark, I got to tell you, man, I know you're saying those things, but I haven't seen her lay out a policy platform yet.
Well, I would say there were.
I know.
Here's the great news, Mark. She's kicking your guy's ass, and she hadn't even staked the claim to anything yet. I mean, think when she actually sits down and debates the man on September 10th. Man, Trump. Have you seen Rambling Trump? Did you listen to Elon last night? Because I'll readily admit, candidate Harris whatever her prior role was, yes, there are certain issues that she's matured on or changed on or moderated on, Mark, like lots of candidates do. What did Mitt Romney do after he won the primary? He shook it clean, right? Etch-a-sketched his way, moderated towards the middle. Don't be shocked when people do that after their conventions, Mark. I mean, your guy's just okay, not so smart enough to do it.
Press conference?
What's that?
So we know. Will she take a press conference? So we know.
Buddy, I listened to the general press conference at Mar-a-Lago last week, Mark. If that's okay, what your guy does.
He's willing to do it.
But that wasn't a press conference, dude. That was friendly fire.
Mark, let me ask you a couple of questions, and I certainly appreciate you listening, calling, and joining the political party with us. When Donald Trump stands up and says to you and to the world that Kamala Harris is using AI to generate her crowds in Wisconsin and the Midwest, and saying nobody's there, literally nobody's there, busted. What's your reaction to that? If Joe Biden would have stood up and said, Donald Trump, these are not real crowds at Donald Trump's places, you've been calling him a crazy old man, Mark. What do you say when your guy says that?
Well, I would say that Donald Trump has the ego of an idiot, first of all, and I don't agree with him on that. However, what I would say is that, again, she won't even address anybody, the press. It can't even
and she's winning anyways.
ABC
Have you considered that they don't care that you want her to go take a press conference? This has been a political strategy. Running as a generic Dem, a hope Rudy, and change Dem, is working.
Rudy, I want to know what her stance are.
You don't care. You're not going to vote for her,
yeah,
Mark.
Come on, man.
Mark,
what would you do if I'm going to understand your position?
Wait. I want to hear what
I want to say this, Mark.
I told Earl this morning that I might actually vote for her because she sounds like a Republican.
I don't believe you, but it's nice of you to say, Mark.
No, because of everything she stands for. No.
She's not a Republican, Mark.
Almost to the point.
Here's...
I know she's not a Republican, but everything she says, and I said to Earl, I go, well, then if I was a Democrat, I would be very upset on everything that
I care how she governs after she wins, Mark. You know what? I'm looking forward to a very progressive Harris administration. But until then, I'm okay if she runs as a generic hopey changey Dem. Because your guy is running a very dark, desperate, flailing campaign. And all my girl's got to do is be joyous. Compared to your guy, and she's flipping all the polls, Mark. Your guy's desperate.
You think she could sit down with Elon Musk and have a conversation?
Why would she? That was... Yeah, I think
could she sit down with
Putin.
Korea?
She wouldn't fluff either of those two guys. That's one thing I will assure you about my candidate, is she is not going to kiss either of their asses. What's that,
I'm
Mark?
I'm scared to death about that.
Well,
Mark, so let me ask you a question before we let you go. We have other callers holding. You think that Donald Trump in Helsinki, when he went against the intelligence agencies, when he went against the United States.
I don't know why he would, though.
And said that Putin didn't do those things. Do you think that was standing up to Putin or was that kissing his ass, Mark?
Well, I don't know if it's kissing his ass, but I know that
it was.
He has ability to control Putin more than Putin controls him.
He gave the guy a hand job, Mark. Let's call a spade a spade.
Man, he's got the abilities. Well,
sorry, man.
Got to
cut you off there. 844.
Appreciate you playing along, man. Come on, though, man.
967.
He doesn't have any secret abilities to control the despots he so desperately idolizes. You know what I'm saying? He loves these guys, Mark. He loves Putin. He loves Kim Jong-un.
He was talking about that last night with Elon. How much?
He loves me. He sent me love letters. I called him Little Rocket Man, and now he loves me.
He loves China. He's a real strong leader. When he walks in, everyone stands up. Well, yeah, because what? In this country, we don't have to stand up, Mark. We don't got to do a damn thing. But if Trump has his way, he'd make you stand up or shoot you in the head. Because isn't that what the dictators do? He has no control over those folks. He kisses their ass. He wants to be them. Dictator for a day, Mark. Come on, man.
844-967-2789. Jeff on the text line wants to know, Mark, can he have some of what you're smoking? Wisco Paul, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie, what's happening?
After listening to your last caller, it's a little hard to don't forget about the pee tape, and that's a fact. And I don't, sometimes I wonder if
that hasn't been proven, but it hasn't been proven that J.D. Vance had sex with that couch either, but it hasn't been disproven.
That's right.
There you go. Hey, that's totally awesome. At any rate, I don't, sometimes I have a hard time with the Trumpsters. You can't really argue with them, but I've seen them in action for 4 years, and I don't want to, and in the last 4 years, I just want him to go away, and Kamala is gonna crank him, man.
You know what? But a guy like Wisco, in my opinion, a guy like Mark has the intelligence and the reasonableness. Whenever Trump isn't also ran, perhaps sitting in a penal colony somewhere, I think that Mark may at some point just become another tax cut Republican. You know, get mine. Don't care unless it happens to my family. I mean, that's what many Republicans are. They don't show a ton of empathy, but if it happens to their family, then they can be sympathetic to that cause. But I think there are a lot of people that will move on from Trump. But you know what? Trump ain't moving on even if he loses, Paul. He's not moving on. He's firmly got the grasp of the entire base, right? So whatever Trump wants to do, he won't be the president in the future, but he will be a malicious actor with this base, or he'll end up in prison. I hope it's the latter, Paulie.
Couldn't it be both?
Because it'd be both would be fine, too. Hey, I'm going to move on to something else. Voted no and no.
Excellent.
And
well, it's very reassuring, Paulie. You got the message.
Well, I got the message, and I don't want Voss to have any more power. Let's see, because this is all about him, Robin. And
you know what? If we win the assembly this year, the Democrats win assembly control, Paulie, there won't be a Robin Voss. He'll be the, what, assembly minority leader or worse.
He can go cry a river with Trump then. That'll be totally awesome. That'd be Hey, that'll make my day. I'll be drinking a lot of Spotted Cow in November. What is it, 2nd, 6th, or whatever. So, all right, boys, great show today. Thanks for taking my call, Zoe.
Thank you,
right,
Paulie.
Paulie, appreciate you.
We're
calling,
not
man.
Quite done 8-4-4 with the show yet. The rest of you don't.
2-7-8-9.
Paulie's already heading to the bar on us. You can tell. Feeling good. Feeling good. Here's John Nichols describe how well Kamala Harris is doing. Anyone that listened to that lispy, and I didn't hear the lispiness at the beginning of the interview with Trump and Elon, but oh my God, suffering succotash. Trump sounded like Mike Tyson after he got punched in the mouth, and that's going to be used against him in every campaign ad, and it should be. The guy sounded, it was very disconcerting.
Well, I mean, it's a legitimate question. Is there a health problem going on? I mean, if he was just tired, perhaps that's a thing, as mentioned. I don't know. But he was very distinctly slurring his words, man.
He called
it's like
it
talking to you at midnight.
He called it was his head bobbing? Yeah. They called it a conversation with the nation. And I'm thinking only those dumb enough, and I include myself in that number, to go on the broken down Twitter spaces and listen to an audio only interview that sounded like a couple of dudes doing a podcast in the garage, dude. And one guy was Beavis. And the other guy was like your narcissistic, rambling neighbor who lies about his golf game and his heroism and every other damn thing. And the other guy was like Flavor Flav to Chuck D. Yeah, boy. 844-967-2789. The correct answer is no,
no
and no
and no
on the constitutional referendum. If you haven't voted, go out and just go vote no twice. And then if you want to have a little fun, you know, go vote on the Republican side. A lot of people are dipping a toe in the Barbin pool. I've been seeing that on the text line. 844-967-2789. Steve from Milwaukee, if you hold tight, you will be next. CJ, if you hold tight, maybe, but probably not. I'm just telling you, I'm betting against you today.
You never know what can happen. Miracles can happen.
No, today the answer is no and no.
No and no.
I know the answer. It's no, CJ, but you can keep holding. But the answer, it's no. Let me know on the text line. Should we take CJ's call? It's the same thing. You should vote on the referendum. Both of them. No and no.
Come back with us, Vice Presidential Candidate Tim Walz, the governor from Minnesota. He was speaking at the AFSCME 46th Annual International Convention. We have some sound. We'll bring that
his
to
first
you
solo
as well.
Event.
Yeah, man. And J.D. Vance is coming to Milwaukee Friday, but we're not going. Folks, you can join us 844-967-2789. It's a text. It's a call. It's how you party with the Devil's Advocate.
Are you going to J.D. Vance? No. And no.
No.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Devil Advocate Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now at 844-967-2789.
Dom, lots of people on the text line, similar sentiment. I voted no twice. FCJ. Here's another one. No on CJ. Here's another one. Jim, Paul, no to CJ. Tom from New Berlin, no and no. Jeff from Shorewood, no, 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 et cetera, on CJ. One WMDX texter says, take the call. You need to spice up Tuesday for dog's sake. I don't know what that means. No, no, and no. I think the last no there was for you, CJ. Ross from Crawford County says, this is Ross. No to CJ. He never listens. He's just like a nonstop funnel of Trump crap. He never listens. And then we've got a no on J.D. Vance. Well, we're not going on Friday. I can tell you that. CJ, no, no, and triple no. And then here's a no on CJ Vance. They've combined it. I like when they do that. So anyways, and oh, yeah, and dog, there is no dog. That must be a reference I don't get, but I think it's probably clever. I'm just not clever enough to get it. 844-967-2789. Democracy in action. It's not you, CJ. It's Steve from Milwaukee. Welcome, Steve. What do you got for us?
Hey, Steve.
Hell no on CJ. He's a broken record. I'm tired of hearing his voice. He never listens, like the guy said. But anyway, yeah, the whole Trump call thing, you know, they defend the indefensible all the time. But I think it's funny about his cease and desist letters he's been getting. And they can't play any music except Kid Rock and Ted Nugent. It's just kind of limited now.
He never minded just stepping all over music licensing. He's been stealing Elton John and the Rolling Stones. I'm telling you, dude, he's doing it at whatever his next rally is. He'll be butchering the music licensing on at least four different artists.
So where are all the lawsuits?
It's interesting. I don't know. I mean, because we can't play music that's not licensed on the radio. We pay licensing, lots of licensing dollars. You do it in the radio industry.
Music?
What's that?
Just for your bumper music?
Yes, sir. Yeah. If you own a radio station, now I should restate, Civic Media now pays those bills. But Dom used to help me calculate that. That was a big deal, even for a news talk station. If you want the cool tunes, you got to pay the price. Trump,
wow, that's interesting.
Like his typical, just steals it, never pays.
He'll pay you in two weeks. Yeah, I thought the family of Isaac Hayes were trying to sue him or were sending him cease and desist letters.
I think you're right for a change. 844-96. You're right often, Tom, I tease.
No, no.
844-967-2789. Still no to CJ. Drew from Lake Mills, welcome. What do you got for us, Drew?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. Hey, just a suggestion. Like, you know how you guys have CJ on hold for, you know, approximately 3 hours or whatever.
1 hour, 11 minutes, and 35 seconds and counting at this point,
he
Drew.
You was late today, Drew.
I would say, I would make a CJ rule and say, if you don't call within the first 5 minutes of what's going on the air, you're done. And let's just get him over with. Like, take his call, first 5 minutes, we're done with him, we move on with our day, and then you don't have to worry about him being on hold the whole time. And if he misses his deadline, well, that's his problem, not yours.
Drew, he's always lurking there in the queue. You know, like a baby seal needing a clubbing, if you know what I'm saying.
Like so Donald Trump behind Hillary Clinton during the debate.
Yes. Just being a creep. Yeah.
It's hardly weird at all that he tunes in. Well, let's see. CJ, do you perceive yourself as weird for being on hold for such a long time? CJ, you're not even listening today, are you? You blew your big chance, CJ.
It's like the, you know, growing up in the 70s, you just go to the neighbor's house and leave the kids at home and keep the phone off the on the line together so you can hear what's going on.
They're just watching TV together.
Hey, Rich, we do have a couple of bites from Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, Kamala Harris's vice presidential pick. He was speaking at the AFSCME 46th International Annual Convention. Had a couple of things to say, a couple of short clips here, if you would, please. Rich, let's hear what the man has to say.
Can you simply picture Donald Trump working at a McDonald's trying to make a McFlurry or something? He knows us. He couldn't run that damn McFlurry machine if it cost him anything, so...
Is that a prerequisite? Because I don't know if I could run the McFlurry machine down.
I think you'd be more apt to figure out than a guy like Donald Trump. Let's go to the next one.
We've got 84 days to take control of our own destiny. 84 damn days. And I've said this, you hear me say this. That's easy. We'll sleep when we're dead. We'll do the work now. We'll do the work now.
Do the work now. Sleep when we're dead. Yeah, I've said that for a long, long time.
You know, this show going to wrap up for the evening, Don, but you're not done. You still got to go vote. No, twice. If you haven't voted yet.
And no.
Vote no and no.
Just say no. I mean, Nancy Reagan made it so easy for us so long ago.
You know, we should have sent out a meme of CJ with like no and no on it. And everyone would remember don't no, no.
No, no. God, no.
Thank you to our fine guest, John Nichols. He's a good one. Got a fine one tomorrow as well. Our pal, Bill Press, joining us in the Happier Happy Hour. We'll have all the elective results you need to know. And thank you all that participated in the texting. No and no. And Rich, well done, man. Thanks for all the hard work today. Keep it going. Listen tomorrow. Rich. We'll do it again in Chi-Town next week.